Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. On Tuesdays, we have the Think Tank where we have someone from the left, someone from the right, but we just don't associate with bomb throwers. They're the last guy, I won't say his name. I'll tell you off the air, Mike, who is a real D, and I said, we're never having him on again. We're never having anyone like him on again.
Oh, wow.
So this is the reasonable place. If you think that my conservatives are wussies or my liberals are not far left enough, sorry, that's just the way it is. I'd rather have reasonable, smart people.
You know, at least reasonable people, you can have a discussion.
Yeah.
I had a campaign event last night up at Newtown.
Yeah.
And this lady stopped by, and she is not Republican at all. And she said to me, she goes, I like you because I can disagree with you, but we can still have a conversation. And when I walk away, I go, I don't hate that guy. I went, I think that was a compliment.
Yeah.
And I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big compliment, and it's sad that that's even a thing. Because when I was a kid and a young man, there were, though, you had your political friend,
yeah,
singular,
yeah,
and you didn't like him because he was always talking about Reagan or Nixon or something. You may have been that friend.
I may have been that guy.
But it wasn't anything like this.
It wasn't as polarizing as things are these days. I mean, everything is polarizing right now. And I don't understand why. I was having a meeting earlier today with some business leaders talking about manufacturing and just getting around a table and talking about what are the challenges that they are facing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you've got tariffs, you've got all kinds of different things that are going on that they're looking at. But we were just talking about how in St. Charles County we can work together to try to bring more manufacturing in, because 11% of our workforce works in manufacturing. We've got a lot of aerospace and GM with their factory and all that kind of stuff. And just trying to figure all that out without getting into polarizing discussions that really have nothing to do with workforce.
Yeah.
So it's tough these days.
How can people in the heart of St. Charles commune with, care about, understand, and work with the people in North County that have been so affected by the tornadoes and have such different lives?
I think you see it happening on a regular basis with, like, this tornado stuff that happened in the city. There are an awful lot of people from St. Charles who have volunteered and gone down to the city, and they're doing a lot of work down there. I think the big part is just having communication and being open about a need and not being so hardcore on how the need gets fixed, right? Mm-hmm. So if I can help address a need, I'm more than happy to help you fix a problem.
Yeah.
As long as you're open to other ideas and you're not saying, I want your help to fix this problem, but you have to do it like this.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that doesn't really work, and that doesn't really allow me to fix a problem like that. But I could do this, and this would be able to help you. Nope, I don't want it fixed that way.
We were talking a couple hours ago on the show about the, whatever they're calling it, the military parade, which I think is just so stupid that it's on Donald Trump's birthday. If it happens to fall on your birthday, you pick another day. You don't have it on your birthday. You don't have giant missiles and ICBMs on your birthday. That's one of the rules that you have to live by. But in general, we're against it. We think it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. We think that if you're really all that, you don't need to pull your pants down and show it. You can just let people know that, trust us, we've got the missiles.
I think it all kind of started off, though, to be the Army's 250th birthday. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole genesis behind the idea. That's where the parade started from, and that's what it's all about. It's funny,
it feels un-American. Now, maybe it's completely American, and I'm just not seeing it.
It's completely American in some ways, because it gives us an opportunity to honor our military and everything that they are. I mean, to look at the fact we are such a baby country compared to the rest of the world, right? And we're celebrating the fact that next year is our 250th year as a country, but this year is our 250th year to have an army. And it's a really big deal. And I think we ought to honor our military for what they do. Now, you've got a lot of people that are going to take this and they're going to co-opt it, and it's going to run with all kinds of different things. A lady that I work with who lives in Champaign, Urbana, she was on her way back home, and she knows that I'm a Republican, and she stopped by and she goes, "Hey, I know we talk about the fact that I don't agree with you politically, and I need to get more involved and actually do stuff." She goes, "I just wanted to let you know I'm getting involved on Saturday." I'm like, "On Saturday? I'm marching on Saturday." You're marching on Saturday? I had no idea what she was talking about. There's counter protests that they have going on. So I'm curious to see what an S show Saturday is going to turn out to be. Because you've got some people who are going to do all kinds of, you know, pro-Trump, pro-things that way. And you've got other people that are going to do anti-Trump things just because it's Trump. And what's sad to me is it should be a really fun day to celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States Army and all of those who have served in our Army and all of those who have given so much to protect our country, and just excited about the fact that we have one of the best armies in the entire world. They're the best trained. They're the best equipped. They're the most advanced. There's so much for us to be excited about with our Army that's there. But it's not going to be any of that. It's all going to be political discussions, and that's really sad.
What about this as an idea? Because I threw it out earlier. If we want to do something to celebrate the Army, why don't we take the money that would go to a parade and divide that up amongst the people serving and do something for them rather than just throw a parade? Like, help veterans more, do more for active duty people. I mean, if we've got the money to just spend on tanks and stuff to roll down the street, that money should be spent on soldiers to make their lives better.
I get where you're coming from, and that's a
practice. Otherwise, it's just an ego play. Otherwise, it's just, look, I can make myself the big bell of the ball, and we're going to show to the world what they already know. We're not telling anybody anything, what do we appreciate more? Do you appreciate more someone saying, "Hey, buddy, good job," or would you appreciate a $1,000 check or $5,000 check when you're already choosing a tough job that doesn't pay that much?
I think it's important to celebrate successes, and I think across all industries, we do that poorly. We don't take the time to celebrate successes. A lot of times we have wins and we go, "Hey, good job, Wheels," and then we just keep moving on. It's like, no, let's take the time to celebrate the success, celebrate who we are, and just take a moment to, as the old Mac Davis song used to be, stop and smell the roses, right? Count your blessings, realize where you are, take a minute and just reflect on that and celebrate who you are. I don't think there's anything wrong in that. I think it gives you a sense of personal pride. It gives you a sense of pride in your country. I don't think there's anything wrong with being proud in your country. I don't think there's anything wrong with being proud of our Army.
Nobody's suggesting anything otherwise.
No, but people are going to take it and co-op it. Kind of what you just said. Hey, why don't we take that money and let's move it here and let's give it to the soldiers? That's a practical way to think of, let's not spend that money on a parade.
Well, let's do instead of talk.
But I mean, we could do that. We get rid of every 4th of July.
You know
parade.
What? Something that helps them more day to day is better.
It is. But we could get rid of every 4th of July parade if you do that. There's no reason to have a 4th of July parade.
We're not paying $100 million for the 4th of July parade.
Oh, we're probably paying a whole lot more than that if you do every municipality in America that does the 4th of July.
Government. The federal government is not paying to roll tanks and stuff down the street for the 4th of July. It's not happening. It's all done locally. It's all done by municipalities, and it's mostly people contributing their own time. They're not using military hardware. They're not rolling missiles down the street. You got convertibles with veterans on there, and you've got convertibles with local celebrities and things like it. It's not the same thing.
I think it depends on where your heart is when you come at this. For some people, like I've heard, I know a number of military people that are going to go to D.C. to be a part of this just because they're excited to be a part about the celebration of the military and the brotherhood that they're a part of. I mean, if you've served, you understand the brotherhood that's there. I was just talking earlier about when I joined the Navy and going through basic training probably changed my life more than anything else. It gave me a better sense of who I am, what it takes to get a job done. It taught me about discipline. It taught me about accountability. It taught me about working with others and creating that band of brothers that you have. And if you've ever served in that type of situation, you appreciate that. So it means something different to you. I get the whole show of strength and mine's bigger than yours type thing of how this is kind of going off. But we haven't done it before. And
For a reason.
Well, I get that part.
Because that's what North Korea does.
And that's what Russia does.
And again, if we were in a spot where we were already covering all of the needs that we should be for our veterans and for our active duty military members, fine. But we're not.
Right.
We're leaving people short. And why would we then turn around and take resources that could be directed in that way and not direct them in that way because we want something that looks like a big show? I mean, like, how many things in government do we talk about like that? Like, fine, we could do that if we could, like this in St. Louis. We could talk about doing better social programs if we could fix the streets and move the snow.
Yeah.
But we can't do those other things until we fix the streets and police the streets and make it safe and do all those other things. So we're not living up to our obligations that we already have to veterans and to active duty servicemen. But we have time for a parade. We have money for a parade, but we don't have money to do those other things. And we're cutting some of those things in what Doge just did.
It's a parade that a number of people are not going to appreciate. It's a parade that other people are really going to appreciate, and it's going to mean an awful lot to them. You're going to have an awful lot of veterans that this parade's going to mean a lot to, and they're going to connect to what the 250 years of service in the United States Army means. It means a lot to them. It means a lot to those folks who have served, and it may not mean a lot to everybody, but to some folks, it's going to mean an awful lot, and they're going to celebrate this. And if we do it once every 250 years, then so be it. You know, you do it once every 250 years. I think we can find the way just to pause, say thanks for service, celebrate how great our United States military is, find a way to celebrate that. You can find good in everything, man, if you're willing to look.
No, there's... See, this is the problem, though, Mike. It's not one or the other, because we do a lot to recognize our troops and our veterans, but we don't do enough for them.
I agree with that.
So this is the point. Like, my dad's retired Army, right?
Right.
My dad served during the Vietnam War. This is not about not appreciating anybody. It's about a show versus doing something.
I bet he'll watch this parade and love. I assume your dad's
still
around.
He might, but I'll tell you what, he's also not somebody that is requiring VA healthcare all the time. He's not somebody that was injured in battle that didn't get coverage and then ended up having to do it on their own. He's not an active duty service person now who could use money or better housing or better something. Like, I mean, if we were doing all that we should to do for those people, this would be great. And I think we should recognize it and celebrate it. And what better way to celebrate someone than to do something good for them and not just a show?
So it's not a reason to not do something because you think someone might start trouble. But I am very concerned, not being a fan of this, but no one's going to ask me. They're going to go ahead with it.
Exactly.
But I'm very concerned that someone's going to do something. And I'm not talking about a
I'm with you.
Suitcase nuke or something.
No, but
someone's going to get stupid.
Yeah, yeah, there's going to be.
Yeah, and there will be people on both sides ready to get stupid.
Yeah, but let's hope not. But you're right.
I mean, you're seeing it happen around the country right now with the whole what's going on in L.A. Like, you bring those people in and, you've got some folks who are legitimately upset about what's going on and they're going to protest. And then you've got other folks who go, oh, opportunity. Yeah. Here we go. So they're going to come in. I mean, hearing the stories about guys showing up with bags of cinder blocks and hammers, and they're breaking up the rocks just so you can throw at our cops, or they show up with frozen bottles just so you can throw at them, or Molotov cocktails or whatever. And they don't care a thing about ICE. They don't care a thing about what the protest is going on. They're the people that you were talking about. They're seeing this as an opportunity for me to create chaos. And I don't really care who the chaos is for, is what those folks would say. They're just all about the fact that they can get there and they can cause trouble. And I agree. This is going to be an easy target. There's probably going to be something that happens, unfortunately. But I hope that people can at least, for everything that you said, Wheels, I hope people can at least take a moment just to appreciate the fact of it's going to look cool if you're into that kind of stuff. And it's something that you might be able to appreciate. Granted, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But for some folks, it's going to be really neat.
It's totally unfair. But if it were anyone but Trump, I would be much better because I know his motivations.
I'm with you.
I'd be making the same argument, and I don't care who it is. If it was Biden, Obama, doesn't matter.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Welcome back, DGS 425, Throwback Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I've got it right here for you, and it's a good one. 86 years ago in 1939, the Baseball Hall of Fame opened in Cooperstown, New York. Where legend has it, baseball had been invented by... we talked about this recently. Yeah. It's not true. Abner Doubleday, exactly 100 years earlier.
And that guy caught a flyer.
He did. He did do some things that helped. You know, like he would... I think he, when he was in the military during the Civil War, he like outfitted his group with baseballs and bats. And
sure, he was a fan.
Yeah. Like, he helped grow it initially, but he was... contrary to popular belief, not the quote-unquote creator.
No, I just, my whole life, grew up just picturing him going, now you're a second baseman, and this is called a strike. Like, I just pictured him making the whole thing up on an afternoon.
I'm glad whoever did it, did it.
62 years ago in 1963, Cleopatra, starring Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, premiered in New York. It was one of Hollywood's most expensive productions. It cost $44 million, which is estimated to be about $435 million in today's currency.
I love that movie. You ever seen the whole thing?
I've never seen the whole thing.
Oh,
no.
It's great.
I love Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
Yeah, fantastic.
58 years ago in 1967, interracial marriage became legal after the Supreme Court struck down state laws barring it.
How long?
58 years ago, 1967.
Another one of those, like, hard to believe, like, that was just 58 years.
Mm-hmm.
57 years ago in 1968, the horror classic Rosemary's Baby premiered in New York, of course, starring Mia Farrow as a woman who has been impregnated by Satan. I've never seen that movie. I'm too scared to watch it.
I'm sure I've seen way scarier, but that was such a thing when I was a kid. Like, just the movie poster of the... cradle or whatever it was.
Yeah.
44 years ago in 1981, the first Indiana Jones movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, was released.
Wait, how many years ago? Again?
44 years ago.
44. That's crazy.
Not okay.
No.
So like, so you said it was 1981?
Mm-hmm.
So like 44 years before that was World War One.
Yeah.
That's how much
that's
separated
how
we
works.
Are from, oh my God.
And 34 years ago in 1991, Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls won their first NBA championship, beating the Los Angeles Lakers 4-1. One final throwback Thursday for you. 31 years ago in 1994, O.J. Simpson allegedly killed two people, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. O.J. was later acquitted of the killings in a criminal trial.
You ever see if I did it?
No.
Oh, man.
Whew. Was that like a made-for-TV thing that he did?
It was an interview.
Yeah.
I've seen clips from the interview where he pretends to stab the interviewer, and it's like, what is wrong with you?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.